Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues in a verse-by-verse study of the powerful book of Revelation. Never before has John's revelation been more crucial to know and to communicate than right now. The state of Israel, Middle East tensions, European alliances, COVID-19, even our own national unrest are just a few of the precise indicators that Jesus is soon to return for His church. May we all be informed and inspired to speak these truths as we are washed by the water of the Word.
Revelation chapter 21. What do you say we all go back to heaven? Are you ready? We saw last week that the book of Isaiah tells us this new heaven and new earth that God reconstitutes. As Peter says, the energy that resides within all matter is let go in an intense heat. All of heaven and earth is going to be completely redone. Well, earth I can understand because after all, there have been thorns and thistles and evil people. But why heaven? Because right now Lucifer has access to heaven. Job chapters 1 and 2 tells us that. And of course, the book of Revelation says, where's Lucifer at mostly? He's not here on earth. He's probably not in your pantry. Where he typically would be is in heaven, accusing the brethren, sisters and brothers, continually. And so that's got to be cleansed. When the new heaven and the new earth and everything and all things that were evil or bad or lousy, that's all going to be eradicated. Even our memories. Our memories are going to be expunged of anything. That's why all the tears are wiped away. That's why there's no more sorrow. Now we're going to focus on this fabulous architecture called the New Jerusalem. Chapter 21, verse 9. Then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls filled with the last seven plagues came to me, talking with me, saying, come, and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. Code for the living stones, to be sure. But it's also an architecture unlike humans have ever seen before. It's a new Jerusalem. Check this out. Verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain. Scratch in your margin there, Isaiah 2, verse 2. The last great earthquake of the seventh seal, seventh trumpet, seventh bowl judgment was a huge earthquake. So much so that the angel said to John, earth has never seen such an earthquake and never will again. All the islands disappear, all the mountains come down, all the walls, that means all the walls. Nothing man-made will stand. God is fixing the plate tectonics that you and I are familiar with as they grind against each other, forming the earthquakes and volcanoes that plague us today. I think God's going to fix all that. And when he does, the new highest mountain in the world will not be Everest, and it won't be Peavine. It's going to be Mount Zion, where this new Jerusalem is about to land. He showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem. Jireh is Hebrew for provides. Shalom, or Salem, is what? Peace. Jerusalem means provides peace. Not so true these days, huh? The devil works hard to make sure that this name isn't fulfilled, but rest assured, it will be. Descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Here the Greek word is doxa. In the Old Testament it was kabod. Kabod means the weight. The substance. Do you remember when the Shekinah glory of God first appeared? Having come through the Red Sea, they couldn't go left, they couldn't go right, they're parked right against the Red Sea, the shores, and the only way of escape is now being flooded by an influx of Pharaoh's troops because Pharaoh had changed his mind. We're going to get you. And we can't go through the sea. Way to go, Moses. Some great military leader you are. We think we hate you. Yeah, we're pretty sure we hate you. Moses goes to the Lord and he says, what do I do? I bet there wasn't one person in that crowd of almost 2 million who thought, ding, I wonder if God is going to make a trench in the water. Loved one, that's often how it is. Your God, who loves you so passionately, will see to it that you'll come into a situation that you don't have the resume to handle. You don't have the resources. Though we want to cry out, oh God, thanks a lot. You brought me to this terrible place. It looks like it's curtains for me. God loves to bring out of the blue, out of left field, an answer to your prayer, some sustenance to your desert-like condition and parched thirst. God says, if you'll relax and trust me, word, worship, prayer, and fellowship, suddenly out of nowhere comes your answer. Back to the people of Israel. Whoosh! This huge pillar of fire between the oncoming enemies, a big pillar of fire. Then he says, all right, Mo, stretch out your staff over the sea. The waters parted. The children of Israel go across on dry ground. Then God lifts his Shekinah glory, and some knucklehead in the Egyptian army said, let's go get them. Follows them into the trench in the water, and then when they were about midway across, God just folds the waters over the top. In one move of God, God delivers his kids and dispatches the pursuing enemy behind. The glory of God filled the house at the dedication of the tabernacle. Nobody was able to stand. And whenever the Shekinah glory of God shows up, it's in response to the heart's cry of the people. Sometimes it's the heart's cry of doubt and fear. Sometimes it's the heart's cry of just wanting to be in his presence. When the kabod shows up, whoo, guess where the kabod of the Lord is going to be permanently affixed? Verse 11, having the glory of God, the kabod, her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Most often, the jasper stone is what we would call a diamond. A diamond, huh? That's pretty fitting for a bride. Verse 12. Didn't even get a snicker on that one. Snickers. Oh, Snickers.
Come back to us.
We had our wonderful time at our hoedown. And my son, he came out with a backpack full of candy. He goes, check it out, Dad. And I bet he had probably 10 pounds of candy. Not anymore. Verse 12. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates, 12 angels at the gates. Do you see St. Peter anywhere near any of these gates? And the names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. The 12 tribes here is a perpetual reminder for all eternity that salvation is of the Jews. There are people who teach that God got so mad at the Jews for putting Jesus on the cross that he said, forget you Jews, and all of God's promises now apply to the church. That is heresy. That is not good biblical theology whatsoever. It's that sort of non-biblical thinking that sets the table for anti-Semitism. The 12 tribes in the New Jerusalem, check it out, a perpetual reminder that salvation is of the Jews. Even though we know it's a city, keep your Jesus glasses on, access to the bride comes through whom, everybody? Israel, if you will, your Old Testament. Verse 13, three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. Numbers chapter 2, just like they were camped around the tabernacle. Verse 14, now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles. Some people have tried to visualize this as one foundation under the other, and it could very well be that. My personal supposition, levels. Verse 15. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates and its wall. And the city is laid out in a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. So it's square. But watch this also. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. Length, breadth, and what else, you guys? It's a cube. That doesn't surprise me because the Holy of Holies, as God instructed Moses to fashion, was 10 cubits by 10 cubits by 10 cubits. It's a cube. It's a model. Here the New Jerusalem is measured 14 to 1500 miles. Let's get in the van and we are at Key West in Florida. About as far south as you can get in the United States. We're going to go from the very tip of Florida all the way to the very northern tip of Maine. Approximately 1,500 miles. But we're not done. Then hang a left and go almost all the way to the Mississippi River. Then go up that amount as well. Is that a good sized city? If there are 12 levels, you have your 1,500 miles by 1,500 miles square. You have one level, and then another level, and then another level, and then another level. I was surprised to read that 90% of all the humans who have ever lived are alive right now. The population of planet Earth, when did it reach its first billion? About the year 1840. Roughly about 10 billion humans who have ever lived ever, including the millennial reign of Christ. If 25% of those were saved, why do I say 25%? Remember in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus told a parable? He said, behold, and there was a guy with a satchel, a sack, and inside of it was the seeds. There was only 25% took it in, stuck to it to the point that they bore fruit. If 25% of 10 million people, that's 2.25 billion. Let's round it up to 3 billion. In these measurements, 12 levels, 1,500 miles around a side, did you know that in the New Jerusalem, all of us people will have 1 square mile to ourselves? Potentially, not only this way, but what? This way as well. That works out to be 640 acres apiece. Woohoo! Dr. Henry Morris, he is way more conservative. He basically says, I'm going to count on 100 billion people in the New Jerusalem. Sorry, then you only have 75 acres to yourself. You know, so there I am on my land. I'm on my 75 acres or my 640 acres. Jesus tells us, we see now through a glass darkly. But when we see him then face to face, we will know as we are known. How well does Jesus know us? Everything about us. I love my wife, I really do. You notice she's not too tough to look at. There's no other place that I would rather be on any given occasion than with my wife or with my family. And we've been through a lot of stuff, like a lot of you have. We've learned about each other. Can you imagine 60 years of a process of really learning the peccadilloes and still being in love and commitment? Can you imagine the affinity and connection two human hearts might have after a long marriage? In heaven, you're going to have that kind of intimate, complete knowledge. Take out all the Dr. Phil weirdnesses and codependencies. And you're going to have that sense of feeling and connection with every other believer in heaven with you. Can you imagine? Did you guys like the chill in the air yesterday? We like it now. I'll ask you again in February. But for now, You got your coat on and the trees are ablaze with fall colors and rustling across the ground. And then the fresh scrubbed feeling having rained here. And I'm driving home. I know Papa Murphy's is waiting for me and my wife and my kids and this wonderful warm feeling of hearth and home. If I'm sitting in the middle of my 640 acres, I don't think that's where I'm going to stay. I'm going to come to your house. Let's hang out. Even though all of this land potentially is with us all, I don't think we're going to stay on our little homestead on the Ponderosa. Back to verse 17 again. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits. It's about 220 feet high. So evidently there's a wall, but then the city is inside and rises well above the wall. According to the measure of a man, that is an angel. Verse 18, the construction of the wall was of jasper. So these are diamond walls, if you will, clear walls. Are they an actual gem? It very well could be. It is my personal opinion that John is trying to describe, really, the indescribable. It may be an actual gem of that size all the way around. Nothing's too hard for God. I don't know that it's an actual gem so much as it is a description of light itself. And the city was of pure gold, like clear glass. And again, people say, wait a minute. Gold is opaque. You can't see through it. And I've heard pastors say, oh, you can beat gold thin enough that you can see through it. But I don't know that it's literal gold. It could be. Or what if that's the color? We'll see when we get there. Verse 19. The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was of jasper. Would you make your way over to Psalm 19? Psalm 19. Written by King David 1,000 years before Jesus. The heavens declare, that word in Hebrew, literally translated is enumerate. Enumerate. The heavens are enumerating something. The glory of God. And the firmament shows his handiwork. Firmament from the book of Genesis lets us know that it's not just the land, as it were, that we stand on, but the firmament really is that whole biosphere where humans live. In other words, the firmament could include the observance of the stars themselves. Watch. Verse 2. Day unto day they utter speech. In the Jewish understanding, when does the day begin? At evening, if the Jewish calendar is observed. So really, evening upon evening, so to speak. And night into night reveals knowledge. Verse 3. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Verse 4. Their words, says RSV, their line, says our New King James, has gone out throughout all the earth. And their words to the end of the world. In them, he has set a tabernacle for the sun. What is he talking about? He's talking about the stars. Let's dim our lights here. First slide. This is the Beth Alpha Synagogue. Unearthed about the year 1929 on the north slopes of Mount Gilboa. It's a place called Beit She'an in Israel. In 1983, I was in Israel, and we were following our guide. She showed us this. And what was interesting to me was what was on the floor, a mosaic from the 500s AD. Now, let's zoom in. Go ahead. Here is what is on that floor. And I remember as a relatively new Christian going, hey, that's the Zodiac. What are the Jews monkeying around with the Zodiac for? I thought the Zodiac was occultic. The Zodiac is. As the earth moves around the sun each year, 12 constellations that parade themselves. The Jews knew that. They called it the Maseroth. And in fact, Josephus said that the Maseroth was given to Adam, Seth, and Enoch in Genesis 5, a preacher of righteousness in Jude chapter 1, quote, that their revelation of two coming judgments, one of water and one of fire, be not lost. God gave the names of the stars. The psalmist tells us that as well. Who named all the stars? What's the answer? NASA. God did. If you do a careful study, and I'm going to provide a nice bibliography at the end of this little exercise here, it's fascinating that the most ancient cultures, if not the same, they have very similar names for the same constellations. Have you ever looked up and said, okay, I'm a Libra? And you're like, okay, where's my Libra? Well, there it is. The constellations are not named because of how they appear. They are named because of the stars that are contained in them. Next slide. There is the various constellations. Can you see the path of the sun? There they are. Virgo, Leo, Cancer, Gemini, Taurus, Aries, Pisces. Next slide. Because the zodiac was a perversion of the Babylonians, it's kind of like the devil said, we can't have them broadcasting the gospel. So what does he do? He jumps in and perverts it into the current occultic practice of horoscopes. Horoscopes we are not supposed to have anything to do with. The zodiac, Aries, begins the cycle. In the Maseroth, it's Virgo. Virgo is another word for what, everybody? A virgin. The Alpha star, the brightest star in the constellation, Spica. In Hebrew, Tzemek, which means branch, and some verses that you can see. There are three smaller constellations that are connected or within close proximity of Virgo is Coma, the desired one, and a verse. Centaurus, the despised. Bootes, which always makes my kids chuckle. The coming one. It's associated with the tribe of Zebulun. Zebulun is the region where the city of Nazareth resides. Jesus wasn't born in Nazareth. He was born in Bethlehem, but where was he raised? Libra is next. It's the balances. It's from the Latin Libra, which means to weigh out. Hebrew, it's Matzah-Enaim, the scale, the weighing. Arabic, Al-Zubina, means purchased or redemption. The station of propitiation. Check out our study in the book of Romans. The brightest star, Zubin al-Ganubi, price deficient, clank on one side. The beta star, Zubin al-Khamali, the price that covers, clank. And the gamma star, third brightest, is Zubin al-Akhrab, the price of the conflict. What are the three minor constellations? The crux. How do you say crux in English? The cross. What was it that balanced out a price deficient with a price paid? What balanced that? The cross. Lupus, the victim slain. Egyptian surah, meaning the lamb slain. Corona, the crown bestowed. It is attributed to the tribe of Levi. Here's Scorpio. These will be on the website if you want to study them in more detail. Next, Sagittarius. In the interest of time, we can't go into them all. Next is Capricorn, Aquarius, then Pisces, Aries. We're going to have to stop here for just a minute. Aries. Hebrew for Aries is Tila, meaning the lamb. It was the Romans who changed the lamb into a what? Ram, that most of that astrological sign is familiar with.
You've been listening to the Book of Revelation with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these messages have been helpful to understand God's clear plan for these very last days. May the Lord use all of us to tell others of Jesus' marvelous plan of salvation and the obvious signs of His soon return. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full, unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day.
How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.